Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
As you know, the war in Ukraine, and I think it's 6 months now, has been going on, has been really affecting the price of many groceries. In fact, potato chip prices are up because of various potato problems, and a lot of it is about Ukraine. They have been a very important part of the global food supply chain, and I was hearing this morning about the Odessa port being attacked by Russian missiles, Joseph, and that's like Friday, they signed this deal in Istanbul to allow grain exports to resume, and now they're bombing the place where all of this comes from. What's happening?
Yeah, I think, hey, Bob, good morning to you. Good afternoon from Ukraine. Within 24 hours of the agreement being signed in Istanbul, the Russians hit the port of Odessa. I don't think we should be surprised by this. I mean, we've seen that you cannot trust anything that the Russians do. Technically, that by hitting the port, they did not violate this agreement. It was a strange agreement. The Russian side signed a document with the Turks in Istanbul, and the Ukrainians signed a separate document with the United Nations overseeing it, because Ukraine refuses to sign any piece of paper with Russia because they don't trust them. But the document is very specific, and so the Russians, by hitting the port of Odessa, they did not break the terms because they did not. They only agreed that they would not hit grain exports. Everything has to be very clearly sort of labeled and defined. But come on. I mean, if you're about to, you know, if you're loading a barge to sail through the Black Sea and you're in the Odessa port, you know, are you going to be calm and trust the word of Russia that they won't hit you? And they have to have complete ability and the precision of their attacks to guarantee that type of security. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, I mean, look, it was, you know, why did Russia sign that agreement? I mean, you know, there's no ounce of humanitarian goodwill, obviously, from the Kremlin. I mean, if so, they would not be hitting civilians routinely in Ukraine. And so it can't be goodwill. And I think the United Nations Secretary General, you know, sort of said this is a beautiful moment for humanity. I don't think it was that at all. I think it was very practical. And for one, you know, The blockade of the Ukrainian ports, as you said, I mean, it affects people in America. It's also immensely affecting countries in Africa, in Northern Africa, and Turkey as well. And so I think Turkey has been, Erdogan, the dictator of Turkey, has been sort of a pal of Putin. Turkey controls the exit to the Black Sea. So Russia has to stay a little bit on good terms with Turkey and with some of these Northern African and Middle Eastern nations which they still have some kind of relations. And so perhaps Russia was a little bit forced into this agreement. So certainly not for humanitarian purposes, but I think they wanted to show that they're still sort of in charge by hitting Odessa within 24 hours. Yeah. It really is terrible.
Yeah, and so much for any easing of the global food crisis, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, President Zelensky said Ukraine has $10 billion U.S. dollars worth of grain to sell to the world. And to export. And, you know, and so, I mean, we'll see. Maybe there will be some exports in the coming weeks, but it will have to be done extremely carefully and with very little trust.
I'm always looking for some hope, some sign of optimism, as I'm sure you are, Joseph. Do you place any credence in this report that the chief of Britain's Foreign Intelligence Service said he believes Russia is losing steam in this invasion?
Not too much. I mean, we do see, for example, and if you look at the live maps, you know, close to live maps of what's happening on the Eastern Front in Donetsk, the Russians, since that city of Lysychansk fell about a month ago, the Russians have made very little on the ground progress. And this, I think, is coincident with the arrival of the longer range rocket launchers from the West, which has helped the Ukrainians go a little bit more on the offense. It's been very, very slow going for the Russians there, but they have reacted instead by shelling cities and villages all up and down the east. And that city of Mykolaiv, which is also a shipbuilding city near Odessa on the Black Sea, they continue to get hit a lot. And the poor city of Nikopol every single day. the Russians are firing artillery at it. So they're compensating at the moment by striking these cities, and it seems that they are maybe regrouping. I mean, here we also wonder, you know, will there be some movement from Belarus? Will Belarus get fully involved in the war and come down from the north toward Lviv? So I want to say we don't know if they're losing steam, but there is. We're certainly in a, it seems like a phase of, you know, we feel something wicked is coming and being prepared, but we don't know what it is.
Let me share a couple of messages for you that we have received, Joseph. How about giving away Polish flags, Bob? Because Poland is helping and opening up its homes to the Ukrainian people. Not only that, but they are feeding them, schooling their children, giving jobs. Poland does not get noticed. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, here the appreciation is extremely high for the Poles. And I think Poland and nearby Lithuania have been two of the biggest supporters of Ukraine. And in fact, both of those countries, they were citizen-led movements to raise money to purchase Turkish combat, unmanned combat drones, the Bayraktar. The citizens of Lithuania banded together and raised, and of Poland. And so each country raised about 5 million euros to purchase these drones. And that's just one of the many signs of the great Polish support. And we have, like, in our team with Ukrainian Freedom News and all the NGOs we work with, so many great allies on the ground in Poland who keep us sane. They help us with logistical problems, and they take care of arriving volunteers and soldiers and refugees that are leaving the country. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. Poland, because the Poles understand, I mean, they lived under, you know, communism like Ukraine, and they've had the threats from Russia repeatedly. In fact, you know, there was that the airplane crash over Russia that destroyed most of the Polish leadership. We still don't know exactly the details of it 10 years later, but the Poles understand what is at stake.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's one more you'll like. Hi, Bob. Love your talks with Joseph Lindsley. Thank you for having him on your show. Keep up the good work. I always think about Joseph's parents and their concern for his welfare. And see, people are worried about you, Joseph.
Well, this is, I appreciate it. And my family understands why I'm here. And I think they never questioned it. Mm-hmm. So thanks for that support. And, you know, we're all, anyone who, you know, even someone, you know, simply by waving the flag in Illinois, or people that give money, or people, everyone is involved in this in some way. And I was thinking at over the weekend, there was an annual Comic-Con convention in San Diego.
Yep.
And Stephen Colbert hosted a panel about the new Amazon Prime billion-dollar show, the new Lord of the Rings show. You know, and it's about the fight between good and evil, the hobbits and the orcs. And, you know, in Ukrainian daily discourse, even in the media, most Ukrainians call the Russians orcs or orky in Ukrainian. Hmm. And they call Russia Mordor. And so I think that they see, you know, that Tolkien portrayed so well the real life drama between good and evil. And maybe such stories, you know, if you grow up with those stories, they help prepare you to know what to do when the time does come to stand up to evil. And in those stories, we see they get very complicated. They show, you know, how hard it is for the good people to stay on track, to stay united. And so I think, you know, Ukrainians feel that we are in this battle, and it involves an alliance of people from all over the world. So thanks to your listeners for being part of that.
Well, and thanks to you for the reporting, Joseph. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.